Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Open your Bible, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Going to be in 1 Samuel 17 a lot. You might as well go ahead and load up your Bible and get there. Digital, paper, scroll. Let's just get to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, so we can work there in the Word of God. As you are turning there, I should say a word about this church. This church began more than 50 years ago because some men and women were strong and courageous. They were unwilling to let New Testament Christianity be adulterated and changed into something far from the pattern that God has given to us. This church has been sustained through the years by men and women who have stood strong in difficult storms when false doctrines have racked the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This church has been fearless, and it has been a beacon to those who want to practice New Testament Christianity, to those who are interested in serving according to Jesus' authority and the pattern of Scripture. So it's just natural that a congregation like this would want to talk more about how to have more courage. And I'm so thankful that the elders chose this theme this year. I'm thankful for the speakers who've been a part, all of the folks who worked so hard to make this happen. And it has been a spectacular weekend. I feel encouraged. Do you? And I'm glad to have a chance to talk a little bit about a very courageous young man as we finish these lectures. Would you read in the text with me in 1 Samuel? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm reading there in verse 32. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 32, Saul said to David, 1 Samuel 17 and 32, David said unto Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth. He has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb for the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. If he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, The Lord has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So we do live in scary times. And there's lots of conversation this weekend about all the things to be afraid of. So maybe what we need, is an escape. Maybe we should go to the movies. So I went online and looked to see what's showing. I jotted down a few things. There's a movie out right now called Sicario, the Coming of the Soldado. I can't say any of that. And so I looked to see what this is all about. And apparently it's about escalating a drug war while somebody, as best I can tell, attempts to kill every man, woman, and child in the known universe with a handgun. Boy, that's really comforting. Then I read about the new Mission Impossible movie, which came out Friday night. Not to give anything away, but apparently terrorists have stolen plutonium to make a nuclear bomb. And IMDb says the Impossible Mission Force fails in their mission. Well, that's good news. Or how about this movie, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom? 2 hours and 8 minutes of large DNA engineered dinosaurs trying to eat you. That's so comforting, too. And just to make sure that the little kids get an equal chance to be scared out of their minds, it just came out, that's right, Transylvania 3, where cute Dracula falls for a woman who wants to kill him. Maybe going to the movies isn't the best idea. But we do live in scary times. Everything from school shootings to church shootings to global terrorism to economic crisis, to racism, to strife, to violence, to disease. We're afraid. We're frightened. who got a comic book character, had him pull open his shirt where it says fearless in a time like this? Are you just not paying attention to what's going on? Don't you know the world we live in? How can anybody be fearless in such a time as this? And then I read about David. And then I read about David. In our text, David is young. In fact, he is too young to go to battle. But it is a time of terrifying and horrific problems for Israel because the Philistines have invaded the people of God's land. And what that means is they intend to slaughter the sons of Israel and steal their daughters and take their homes and their possessions and their farms. That's what this invasion is all about. And in the middle of that, David volunteers to go and fight. That is what our text is all about. Nobody else wants to do that. David says, I'll do it. I got it. I'll go. It's utterly amazing, especially when you understand, gentlemen, this isn't a video game. It's not a video game. Two soldiers will walk into the valley between these two armies, and only one of them will emerge alive. There is no heels for David if Goliath puts his sword through David's chest. This is a life and death struggle, and David says, I can. I will. I am not afraid. And somehow, the more we look at David, the more the Word of God assures our hearts that even though we live in terrifying times, if we can find what David had, we too could be fearless. Some people want to talk about the battle and the things that David did as he advanced on Goliath. And there's a lot to be said about that. But I am convinced the secret to David's success, that if we really want to be all about finding the kind of courage that he has here, it's right there in that conversation he had with King Saul. Because David had his courage in place when he advanced on Goliath. That was already there, wasn't it? So in the things that he says to Saul, that's where I want to zoom in this morning, because in that conversation, we find the source of David's courage, and even more, we find how we can get that courage and put it in our own lives today. I urge you to look carefully with me in 1 Samuel 17. This is the text. This is the place that describes one of the greatest acts of courage of all time. To this day, people talk about it was a David and Goliath fight. It was a David and Goliath victory. Everyone knows about David's courage. Do you know how to have that courage in your life? That's where we began this morning. What we need to think about is the source of courage. Where does courage come from? And of course, that's very badly misunderstood today. There are a lot of people who think courage comes from saying a lot of nice things to people and saying positive affirmations, building up folks' self-esteem. That's what it's all about. Everybody, ride a shiny unicorn up the rainbow. That'll make you just feel so good about yourself. But of course, if it's all about affirmations, David would have just run home like a scared rabbit. Nobody is affirming David here at all. If you back up a little bit in our text, do you remember what his dad said in 1 Samuel the 17th chapter? Look at verse 17. Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp of your brothers. Does anybody else think when they read that, David, you're being treated kind of like the water boy? Hey, run this Gatorade up to the battlefield. Oh, thanks for that. And what about his brothers? How do they treat David? Anything positive there? Verse 28. David's all about, hey, what's going on? Maybe I could do something here. Eliab, verse 28, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, "Why have you come down? With whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumptions and the evil of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. You're here to see a show. That's what you're here for." Wow, that was encouraging. And then even Saul, in the reading that we just had, verse 33, Saul says to David, verse 33, "No, you're not able. Can't do it. Not you. You're not the one." So while I'm certainly not opposed to encouraging people, putting courage in, it's clearly not about you need a bunch of people to affirm you. David has no one affirming him. He's still very courageous. Someone may say, well, you know, that's just who David was. That's just the kind of person that he was. And what that makes, what that does, is that makes courage genetic. Either you have the boldness gene, well, or you don't. And I think we're kind of comfortable saying that kind of thing, because then when we're not courageous, what can we say about that? Well, you know, that's just not who I am. That's not how God made me. But if you think about this weekend at all, over and over again, we've read commands, be not afraid, and don't fear those who can kill the body, and be strong and courageous. Why is God telling us to do that if a whole bunch of us miss the DNA so that we can do that? Oh, no, 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 no. Courage is not something that you're born with. You either got it or you didn't. What happens in 1 Samuel 17 is that we get a great look at exactly where courage comes from. To understand that well, we really need to get a handle on what 1 Samuel 17 is about. What is 1 Samuel 17 about? Someone says, David and Goliath, duh. And if you're thinking 1 Samuel 17 is about David and Goliath, you would be wrong. It's not about David and Goliath. In fact, while Goliath plays an important role, he's not even going to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor here. He's not that significant in the text. His name only appears twice. Most of the time when anybody's talking about Goliath, he's just this Philistine. It's not about Goliath. It's about Saul. 1 Samuel 17 is about Saul. Look with me in verse 2. In 1 Samuel 17 in verse 2, there we read, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. Look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Watch the contrast now in the text. Verse 12, now David. You see what the writer's doing? By the pen of inspiration. What's the king doing? Verse 11, he was greatly afraid. Verse 12, now David. In fact, in the text that we began with, do you see the huge contrast between David and Saul? David in verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. And then Saul in verse 33, no, we can't do it. 1 Samuel 17 is developing the kind of man who can be the king of Israel by showing us the kind of man who absolutely can't be that leader. 1 Samuel 17 shows us that David is that man by exposing Saul as an absolute dumpster fire. He isn't the leader he should be. Why not? Because he lacks character. Isn't that the story of Saul? Over and over again, every time we bump into Saul, he shows a complete lack of character. In fact, when he is called and anointed by God, and the people of Israel say, Saul, you be the king. Where is Saul? Do you remember? In 1 Samuel 10, he's hiding. And then in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, he gets afraid, and he goes ahead and offers an unauthorized sacrifice. Wow. And what happens in 1 Samuel 15? Anybody remember that? 1 Samuel 15, he disobeys God and he can't even bring himself to admit it when Samuel confronts him. Over and over again, Saul shows he has a complete lack of character. He is a coward in 1 Samuel 17 because he has no character. That's verse 32 again. Let no man's heart fail him. Why has Saul failed? Because he has no heart. He has no character. Now, what do I mean by that? Maybe I should clarify. Character is your center. It's your foundational beliefs. It's who you are inside. Someone has said character is who you are when no one's looking. Personality is what we portray to the world, what we want people to think about us. But character is who we genuinely and really are on the inside. It is our essential nature. It is what we truly believe in. It is our moral compass. It is what centers us. And the more we read about Saul, the more we realize he's none of that. There's nothing that is central to Saul that he always stands on, that he has deep convictions about. Saul just does whatever Saul wants to do in the moment. Even if it's sinful and wrong and defies God, Saul will do it if he thinks it helps Saul. Saul's always about Saul. David is exactly and entirely the opposite. David is always about God. Even when he talks about Goliath, look at verse 26. In verse 26, David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Do you hear him? Do you hear him talk in terms of right and wrong, what God wants done? There is moral fiber here. There is certain convictions here. There is character here. David is about serving God's purposes. David sees life from God's perspective. What does God think of this situation? What does God want done here? How can I serve God? What does the Bible call David? A man after God's own heart. David is a man who has character. And the reason he's so brave is because of character. Because courage, all that is it's just character under fire. Courage is just how character acts when there's some kind of bad situation breaking loose. You get that character and you do what has to be done. Why? Because that's what your character tells you to do. Here's the math. Wow, there's an expression you didn't think I'd ever use. But here it is. Here's the math. This is how it works out. You know what courage is? Courage is just character in a crisis. When you have character and then you get a bad situation, courage is what happens next. You want to know what cowardice is? Cowardice is what happens when you have somebody like Saul who has no character. And so he cannot do the right thing. Instead, he cowers. Write it down. That's how courage always works. Doesn't matter if it's a fireman running into a burning building, or soldiers storming ashore on D-Day at Normandy, or David going to meet Goliath. When there is courage, courage is always manifested because there is deep-seated character that has been put in a difficult situation. And so character says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to act. We're going to speak. We're going to do all the things that Rusty talked about Caleb doing because of our character. Remember what courage is. Courage is just doing the right thing despite the dangers and the consequences. Even if you're afraid. Remember that. I don't think David is stupid here. Caleb talked on Friday night about delusional courage. David's not dumb. He knows. I mean, the Bible tells us that Goliath's spearhead weighed 16 pounds. You want to be harpooned with that? David knew exactly what Goliath was about. He knew exactly what could happen to him in that valley if he went out there. But David went anyway. He volunteered to go. How is that possible? Why did he have such bravery and courage and fearlessness? Because Because he had to. It was in his character. That's why I'm always so bothered when somebody is preaching a lesson or making a talk out of 1 Samuel 17, how to slay your giants. Because this isn't about slaying giants. And we love to preach that stuff. Sounds good. Whatever problem you've got in life, you just label it your giant. And then you go to 1 Samuel 17 and you just take it on like David did. Man, that's working. So if your problem is you can't pass Algebra 2, just read 1 Samuel 17. Bring a sling sock to school. Throw rocks at the teacher. No, don't do that. This isn't about how to slay your giants. That misses the point. It's not even about a giant. We know before David even goes out there what's going to happen to that Philistine bully. Because what we've seen is how inadequate Saul is. We were crying and hoping that somebody with character would show up and be courageous. 1 Samuel 17 isn't about how to defeat bad hair days or get a raise at work or get a girl to notice you. It is about the power of character that made David so courageous. So if you want to be bold, if you want to be fearless, what do? Get more character. That's it. That's what you want to do. More character. Remember, it's not a fixed quality. You weren't born with so much of it. Oh, some of you missed out. No. You develop it. You grow it. David says he did. Did you see what he said? Do you see how to get that kind of character? Let me share with you very briefly five things that David did that built his character with courage in view. Notice first and foremost here that if you're going to have character, character is built with consistency. With consistency. Look again in your Bible. Look at verse 34. David said, verse 34, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. If he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. What's David's argument? I can do this. I'm not a noob. I got it. I know I can do it because I've done it. In the Mark Roberts International East Texas Version, verse 35 says, this isn't my first rodeo, Saul. Young people, what's the biggest lie we tell ourselves? The biggest lie young people tell themselves is, someday I'll be different. Someday I'll change. We want to believe that a life that is lived inconsistently, where one day we have a character where we're serving God, and another day we have a character where we serve ourselves and serve the world, that we can just live inconsistently like that, day after day after day, and then someday we're going to amazingly flip a switch and become so righteous and have the right kind of character. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because every day you are laying down the tracks of your life. And every day they get deeper. And those grooves become more and more and more part of who you are and what you are. Till you cannot change your character. Oh yes, sometimes there are people who jump the tracks. I'm thinking about Saul of Tarsus who became the Apostle Paul. But it is hard. It's very hard to do that. The truth is, you cannot live like Jezebel and die like Elijah. Why not? Because when you live like Jezebel, you become Jezebel. Your character is saturated with her way of doing and thinking and acting. And you can't just take that off one day and say, oh, I'm done with that. Now I'm going to do something and be something entirely different. So if you want to have character, if you want to have courage, you need to ask yourself, do I do the right thing all the time? Some consistency in my life. I'll ask you, who will you be tomorrow morning? I know who you are right now at youth lectures. But who will you be at school? I'm not asking who are you when you're at camp. Who will you be at your job? Remember, nobody says, oh, don't ask him to help you on Tuesday. That's the day he's always a coward. Ask him on Thursdays. That's the day he's bold. Nobody is part-time courageous. Character is an all-the-time thing where we are consistent. And I would have you notice as well that where that comes from is that comes from conviction. When David talks, as we noted a minute ago, everybody else talks about the size of the giant and how awful he is, everything. David always just talks about he's defying the armies of the living God. In fact, when he comes out to Goliath, Goliath has a big chuckle and says, verse 43, am I a dog that you came out here with a stick? And David says, you come with me, verse 45, with your sword and your spear and your javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. I will give your dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know there is a God in Israel. All this assembly will know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. The battle is the Lord's. He'll give you into our hand. There's conviction there. David is standing out there because he thinks this is a matter of right and wrong. God cannot and must not be defied. David goes on to the field of battle because he is convinced it is the right thing to do. He believes God wants him to do this. He has convictions. Young people, do you know? Do you know why young people quit the Lord's church and they go to a cool hipster community church where they don't even teach the truth about salvation and they're not worshiping according to the New Testament pattern? Why do they do that? Because they don't have any convictions. They have any convictions about what God says about worship and taking God seriously because he's a fearsome and awesome God, as Drew talked with us about Friday night. They got no conviction about that. Do you know why young people go to university and a college professor starts saying mean things about the Bible just being a book of fables and myths, and young people's faith folds up like a deck chair? Because they don't have any convictions. They've never come to believe anything about the Bible. Do you know? Do you know why, young people, why when we're all gathered around and we're watching a YouTube of a comedian and he's really, really funny, but he's also really, really filthy and every other word out of his mouth is profanity and it's awful and terrible? Do you know why everyone is silent and nobody says anything and we all just kind of laugh uncomfortably and say, yeah, that was fun? Do you know why? Because we don't have convictions about what is right and about how to serve God and what God calls us to be. Nobody dies for a lie. No one dies for what they don't believe in. David believes. I'm asking you this morning, what do you believe in? What convictions do you have? Convictions fuel passion. Passion fuels courage. And it all comes from character. And that is especially true because character is built on risks. Character is actually built on doing. There's a lot of doing in our text. David says, verse 34, when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. If he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. David does not say, well, I have a really good gun and I shot him from a long ways away. The operative word in verse 35 is beard. Like, as in, up close and personal. It's not about gear, is it? But in our day where there's a lack of conviction, has anybody noticed how much talk there is about always buying more stuff to take care of every contingency? Are you getting this ad in your social media feed? You just can't beat this kind of stuff. This is a piece of metal that's the size of a business card, and it has 11 different functions. It has a directional ancillary indicator. I don't know what that is. But I'm pretty sure I need one. It's got like a knife and 18 different screwdrivers and a wrench and a saw. It has a saw. Please notice, Carl says, I bought one. It's legit.
Carl knows.
Every woman right now is thinking, that is an utter waste of money. Every guy is thinking, where do you get one? Well, I want you to know, when the zombie apocalypse comes, I am ready. And you're thinking, why did you buy that? Because Carl said it's legit. No amount of gear is going to prepare you for every situation. What we want to believe is if I buy all the right things, if I have insurance, if I wear a helmet, if we could wrap the world in bubble wrap, everything will be safe and I won't need courage. What we want is someone to tell us that if I don't send that filthy picture to the boy who asked me for one, that our relationship will be okay and he will respect me. I can't tell you that. What we want is someone to say that if we go along with the crowd and act like the crowd and do what the crowd does and never stand up and act as a distinct disciple of Jesus Christ, that that's all going to be fine. I can't tell you that. What we want someone to say is that this world can be safe without us ever taking any risks, that we don't have any problems, that we have nothing really serious to face, that everything somehow will be fine, that we don't have to tell our friends that the Bible condemns homosexual marriage and they'll respect us for our convictions. It's all going to be okay. I can't tell you that because the pages of the New Testament are spattered with the blood of the martyrs who stood for Jesus Christ bravely and boldly and courageously. It wasn't fine. They died. And I need to tell you this morning that the way David built his character is he took some risks. He did some daring things. He did some things that weren't always certain to be fine. And in this situation, it might not have been fine because God didn't tell David, you go out there and do this. David decided, I need to go and do this because courage takes risks. Courage encounters danger, a crisis, and character pushes us on to be courageous and to do what is right despite the risks. And the reason that happens is because that's what characters always do. I need to pick up here the threads of the idea about consistency. What we'd really like to imagine is that there's going to be this big breakthrough moment where the spotlight shines upon us and we can stand forth and make a big speech and be super courageous. But of course, life really has very few of those kinds of moments. Mostly life is lived doing regular, vanilla, generic stuff. But David says, that's what I've been doing. Do you see that in verse 34? David says, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. David was like 1,000 other Israelite boys who kept the family's flock. And what David had done is in the ordinary course of life, day to day, he got in the habit of doing what is right. When his dad told him to go, he went. Because David knew that you're not ever going to do the big things if you won't do the small things. That you can't be courageous in an extraordinary way if you're not brave in the ordinary ways of life. So when you're in school and you weren't ready for the pop quiz, and the kid one row over and two seats up who's really, really smart and always gets them all right, and you can see his answers. You doing that? When everyone else is cutting up at worship, and nobody else will say, we'd stop doing that. God deserves better than this. You doing that? When your parents have the audacity to ask you to do something truly awful and horrible, like carrying out the trash or emptying the dishwasher, is that going to be a time when you sigh heavily because life is unbearably unfair to you? Or will you demonstrate consistency and character in the day-to-day course of life? We can and we must do the right thing in everyday life, because character is not a sometime thing, it's an everyday thing. And it is an everyday thing that is wrapped up in trusting God. That just works all through this. In fact, as 1 Samuel 17 is about David versus Saul, what we see is that Saul does not trust in God, that he has no character, where David is constantly saying what he says to Goliath in verse 47, the battle is the Lord's, the Lord will do this. God didn't tell David to go, but David believed he would be there on that battlefield. David trusted in God. And God has not promised you that you will always have a date, or that you will be popular, or that you won't get fired, or that you won't be beheaded. But God has promised us the opportunity to serve and glorify and honor Him, which fills our life with purpose and meaning, and yes, means that we can live eternally with Him. What God has promised us is that if we can serve Him, if we will serve Him, that even if that means we die for Him, it will be worth it all. So all we need to do is just trust that God's going to work it out. I'm just going to do what's right. Right now, all the time, I'm going to sweat the details. I'm going to do what God tells me to do because I believe in God. And then the crisis presents itself, and what do? We just do what we do, what our character has been trained to do. We just keep doing the right thing because we trust in God. And sometimes that means at the end of the day, the giant is dead by the power of God. But even if it doesn't mean that, even if we are mocked and ridiculed or even put to death, we know that we can rejoice to suffer for Jesus our Lord because we know He is right and we are standing with Him. We believe. We believe in God. We believe in God's Word. And we believe that there is more to life than this life. When you can trust God like that, then you can do right in the crisis. Your character will make you courageous. So this is the place where I tell a really cool story about somebody who ran into a burning building, or maybe a war story of a soldier who jumped on a live grenade or who led a charge. But as I put this lesson together, I realized I already had this story. Once there was a king. He was wicked and selfish and cruel and scared. He would not lead God's people because he had no character. He didn't trust in God. And suddenly, in the midst of that terrible crisis, a shepherd boy came, and he couldn't believe that none of God's people were doing anything about this crisis. So he did. Because he had character, he acted courageously. With his trust in God, he was fearless. And now, it is time for you and me to make David's story our story. To see who has the character to be brave enough to invite a friend to church. To see who has the character that when somebody is running down Christianity, Christians are so intolerant, they will stand up and speak for God. To see who has the character to courageously say, the world's entertainment is corrupting my character. I won't watch that. To see who has the character to carry the gospel bravely to the four corners of the globe or even across the street. To see who has the character to read God's word, where we read incredible stories of men and women with courage because Esther and Joshua and Jeremiah and Daniel and John the Baptist and Jesus had character. Who will build character so they can be fearless? That's what David found in 1 Samuel 17. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we come before you, Father, confessing that all too often we have not put character first. Open our eyes to see the things that we do and participate and partake in that rob us of the kind of character that it takes to be courageous. Bless us, Father, with the courage then to root those things out of our lives. We want to have character like David had. We want to do what's right. We want to be consistent. We want to be courageous. Help us, Father, to be like David. Help us, Father, to build character. And in the hour of need, Father, bless our character that it would push us to be fearless. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and amen.